Samuel Luckhurst is chief Manchester United writer for the Manchester Evening News, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Samuel, thanks so much for doing this. Reading your article, Manchester United defeat shows Jose Mourinho was right and Ed Woodward was wrong. You know, try to put in context for us what that 3-2 loss, or how that 3-2 loss to Brighton yesterday is being viewed in Manchester by the Man U fans this morning.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's clearly very negative now, which is an indication of how fickle soccer can be over here, and that last week it was full-blown positivity after the Leicester game. There's nothing like a mood lifter than a 3 points. But this was coming. This was coming from Jose Mourinho's first words on the pre-season tour about United's pre-season, which were our pre-season is very bad. And in reference to the piece I did, he just wasn't back from the transfer market. It's easily forgotten going into deadline day that Mourinho wanted not just a central defender, he wanted a forward as well. Yet there was only a realistic chance of United signing a centre-back. So the board have decided not to back him sufficiently. Therefore, the squad hasn't been strengthened sufficiently. And that's led to United somehow performing worse at Brighton than they did in May, which, okay, that goes beyond Ed Woodward's control, because with the players United have available, or had available yesterday, they should be performing better. And there are issues with Mourinho's management. The majority of last season, the football served up was drudgery, frankly. There were some highlights in the second half of the campaign, like the City comeback, the Palace comeback. You know, the season was peppered with these highlights, but frankly, the football hasn't been good enough. The fans are starting to turn as well. I think there's this feeling that maybe they do need a change at some point down the line. I still think it's a bit too premature to react like that after one defeat, but unfortunately for United, it was a recipe for disaster the moment the board decided not to back Mourinho in the summer, because if you don't do that, then it's an easy excuse for the manager to fail, and it's also an easy excuse for the players to down tools at some stage.
You know, I find it interesting because, again, I'm just sort of viewing it through a North American lens. But, you know, I'm looking at some of the players Jose Mourinho had a role in bringing in, like Lindelof and like Bailly. And I admit, I thought until he was hurt, I mean, I had a lot of hope for Bailly. I thought he was the type of sort of physical defender that could probably have some success in the Premiership. But, you know, those are, if I'm not mistaken, those are players he brought in, are they not? And I guess, you know, those of us in North America would say, well, why are you complaining? Why is Jose Mourinho complaining when these are the guys, you know, these are the guys you brought in? And conversely, you haven't made, you know, you made a lot of mistakes with your player recruitment. Why should I trust you with this money to go out and you know, maybe replicate those mistakes?
Absolutely. That was the United board's get-out clause. With Bailly and Lindelof specifically, they have only started two competitive games together as a partnership as well. And those two games, of course, have been this month. So from the United board's perspective, in terms of Mourinho wanting alternatives, I mean, a left back was scratched off the list very early in the summer, but they were scouting options for upwards of 18 months. If he had it his way, he'd have signed a left back as well. But from United's perspective, they're thinking, you've got Luke Shaw, why can't you get more out of him? If we had a different manager, maybe we'd get more out of him. So that's why they were reluctant to sell Luke Shaw. It's also similar with Anthony Martial, the way United in the summer. If Mourinho had his way, Marshall was gone out, William would come in from Chelsea. But that was obviously complicated by the issue at Chelsea, whereby he wasn't officially sacked until well into pre-season. But Mourinho can't always get what he wants, and he has to make do with what he's got. But then his argument would be, okay, he's on defence I've signed. Yes, Lindelof has been an imperfect addition. I think you look at Lindelof, I mean, a Mourinho confident told me a fair while back that he's the most un-Mourinho of defenders, and while there's a good defender in there, you still doubt whether he's a Jose Mourinho defender, and that's part of the problem with United. There's this split here whereby Mourinho wants Mourinho players and United want United players. Mm. They want not just short-term fixes. That was the quote that was relayed to us from United hierarchy. They feel that Mourinho is looking for short-term options. United wants to look at the long-term. And when you're thinking like that, you have to suspect, are the club looking at the bigger picture here, thinking, well, if we sell Marshall and Shaw, we're depriving a manager who might be appointed within the next year of working with those players to coax them more out than Jose Mourinho.
That's a fair point. Watching Paul Pogba at the World Cup and sort of the way he seemed to play almost with the freedom of the pitch, you know, it seems as if he and Didier Deschamps have this thing where there's a sense that they have each other's back. I don't know what it is, but man, Paul Pogba in the World Cup, as I said, looked like a guy having fun, enjoying his football, getting involved wherever he could, being a leader. I thought he'd turn the corner, and I'm a big Paul Pogba fan. And, you know, from what I saw yesterday, the body language, you described his play as feckless, and I think that's probably the best way. That's a great word to use in this. Why can Jose Mourinho not figure out what he has in Paul Pogba? Or is that just an example, again, of a guy who isn't a Mourinho player?
Well, I think Pogba is certainly when he was bought, a lot of people would have identified him as that, and that he's a powerful midfielder. He mixes silk and steel, really. Mourinho's had players like that before, and certainly going back to that first brilliant Chelsea side he had, Michael Essien was one example, Michael Ballack was another, Frank Lampard's for a lesser extent. Lampard was more of a goal-getter, but there was something imposing about him on the football pitch. So I think Pogba does fit the profile, but there's a massive ego issue there as well, and the ego issue is also fueled by arguably an even bigger ego than the two, than those two, which is Mino Raiola, who's obviously Pogba's agent and is, you know, renowned for being very outspoken. I think there's a great interview that Simon Cooper did with him a couple of years ago in Financial Times, and Raiola referred to his clients as family. And these very impressionable footballers who he's known since their early 20s. He's known Zlatan Ibrahimovic since he was at Ajax. He's going back nearly 20 years for that. And so what he says goes with these players. With Pogba, I was told when I was doing the Pogba stories a couple of years ago that at the time he was originally intent on moving to Spain. Raiola was the one who advised him to return to United on the proviso that he spent 3 years there and then he moves to Spain. And now he might get his way. Or alternatively, there are so many hypothetical scenarios here. United could change manager, Pogba could get a new lease of life, or United sit by the manager and they refuse to sell Pogba because I think in the current climate, you'd probably value him at £200 million despite his inconsistencies, despite his shortcomings, because that's his cachet at the moment. That's how high his stock is after the World Cup, despite that Brighton performance. So I still think that there's hope for United there, that if Mourinho, Pogba, and I think you have to include Raiola in this, if they can find a common ground and just pull in the same direction, then manager and player can have a very good relationship. And Mourinho was very conciliatory at Carrington towards Pogba on Friday. But I think there's a tendency in Pogba's camp to home in on the negative. And the negative, if there was one on Friday, was that Mourinho clarified as soon as Antonio Valencia is back, which is likely to be against Tottenham next Monday, then he takes the captain's armband back off Pogba.
Before we let you run, of course, Manchester City, the blue side of Manchester, gotten off to an unsurprisingly offensive start. They're far and away the best team in the Premiership. Indeed, they look like they might be one of the best teams we've seen in a while in the Premiership again, maybe even better than last year's club. How How important is keeping up with the Joneses? Has it become for Manchester United? Because they've been on top for so long. And I think in most people's mind, you know, if you asked most people, the preeminent soccer club in England, most people would probably still look at Manchester United before Manchester City. I mean, that may be a generational thing more than anything else. But how much is that rubbing salt in the wound for Manchester United, Samuel?
Oh, it's very galling. I think it would have been a lot worse in the first post Alex Ferguson season when Liverpool really should have won the title and United knew full well they contributed majorly to that. So what I would say, I think on behalf of United supporters, well, the majority anyway, is that at least Liverpool still haven't won the title. I think City is just about that bit more bearable because the success is owed directly to the 2008 takeover by Sheikh Mansour and the money he's ploughed into the club. But it's still incredibly galling because I think certainly you see it in some United fans that they're kind of morphing into that old school City fan that was quite bitter and paranoid and thought the media was after them. And there's an element of that among, certainly online with United fans, not maybe necessarily matchgoers. So it's almost as if the boot's on the other foot. And I think that's probably what fueled the frustration in the transfer window. Okay, City only spent £60 million on Riyad Mahrez, but it was genuinely difficult to enhance that squad. It wasn't difficult to enhance the United squad. If he missed out on Jorginho, who's made a very auspicious start at Chelsea. So had United backed Mourinho sufficiently in the transfer market and just lifted the mood around the place, then I think they'd have had a lot more positivity in pre-season and going into the competitive season. But it started to unravel very, very quickly, and I don't think anybody expected Huddersfield to get anything out of that game at City yesterday. I think if anything, a lot of people were probably surprised that City only put six past them.